Hello and welcome to And All Shall Be Well. My name is Megan Rohr and I am your host. Today is our episode where I share you stories from my heart and stories from travels that I have undertaken around the world. So far, I've been to 55 different countries and try to share a little something curious or funny that happens when I venture to them. Today, I'm going to tell you a story about people who make space in the places where laws are hard and it makes like life difficult. It's some things that I learned while venturing to Paris briefly for about 3 or 4 days. And yes, it is stories of everything that you imagine about Paris and imagine the twinkly stars and the Eiffel Tower and the magic of just beautiful romantic buildings. And it's a story of people who have been through hard things and make it through, which are really the stories that I think are the heart and the center of this podcast, which is about how you can be well doing normal things, not just the things that involve running and jumping and eating the fanciest, healthiest foods, but ways that you can live through hard stuff and keep going. And so I'm going to share a couple of the stories that I learned through walking and learning about queer history in particular with a very fun tour guide. Stay tuned. So many of my adventures that I'm going to talk about today happened because I was able to spend some time with Queer Tours in France, which is an up-and-coming space that will help people learn about some of the LGBTQ history in Paris. I did a walking tour of some of the buildings in the area and the historical sites in the area, and I spent some time in the Louvre looking at some of the historical artifacts and paintings and having wonderful conversations. And so if you'd like to learn more about them, I'll put some of their info down here. But first, I just want to share you some of the insights that I kind of came out of this journey with. The first is that LGBTQ folk are a rugged group of people. Oftentimes, our lives have been made illegal or other people have not understood them, and there has been social consequences if you live openly and publicly. The interesting thing in Paris is that there was a very divided class of people. So if you were not royalty, there were strict rules that in different time frames applied to you, and some of them had very strict penalties of being burned at the stake or being put in prison or being killed. And those are not fun consequences, nor are they surprising consequences, because those kinds of phobias and fears pop up from place to place around the world throughout time. But these are places where the kings in particular and some of the more gender fluid, gender transforming, bisexual folk who found themselves attached to kings often got to have a special way of being in the world, and they could make the rules because they were born into or elected into or kept in their nobility status by those in power. And so they could break any rule they wanted to. And so there were kings who openly had multiple male kinships and had their romantic liaisons publicly, some that were a little more quiet about it, some that were a little more on the feminine side of their masculinity, and ways that women gather together and, had friendships that many people in retrospect wonder if they were more than just friendships. There are stories that I learned about people who would be really great spies going into other countries because they could transform genders as they did it, like going to all the fancy parties in dresses when they were on one side of the coin and going to all of the political meetings, because at the time you had to be a dude in order to participate in military styled stuff. And so they were able to kind of navigate both worlds, and then went to court because there was a trial to decide what gender this particular individual was, and the court decided without them showing up. And unfortunately, when they chose to live in the world fully as female, then they lost some of those military and political responsibilities, because of course it wasn't allowed for them once they claimed that as their space in the world. And so there are gay stories, there are lesbian stories, there are trans stories, and they're all very fascinating and fun to learn about. But the part that really stuck with me that I felt like was something that was wellness oriented and shareable is this idea of resilience and the ways that people keep going in the world, even when the world's putting up all the obstacles in the ways in front of them. And one of the cool things that happens in Paris in ye olde times, prior to the French Revolution, is that there were these spaces that were sort of like legally open zones, neutral zones, so to speak, because there was a place where the police officers got to have a say over what the laws were. And then there were the other lands that were technically royal grounds, and they had their own royal guard, and the laws of the city couldn't be enforced on the royal grounds, and which meant that when there was a law that was against homosexuality, people could go to the gardens and big forests around castles and be openly who they were in a space that was less likely to be policed. And so it created sort of these queer spaces where people could come together. And it's not what it always means when gay people are hanging out in parks and looking for each other, but how cool is it that people always find a space for themselves, whether they create that space by creating bars that are underground, or places where they can dress and drag, or places where they can be fully themselves and have a modicum of safety, not fully safe, because again, you could always be caught and found out and punished, but that these spaces existed. There were other spaces that were academic refuges, places where people like James Baldwin and Oscar Wilde and Gertrude Stein could go and have academic gatherings, or lesbian social clubs reading, I imagine them reading books and talking about art, and ways that people could kind of carve out their own space that was supportive and affirming, and that people had outlets where they could refresh and refuel. So during the time when the laws shifted and being openly gay was much more acceptable and less punished, it was a haven for some of the folk that I named to be able to come to Paris and spend large amounts of time to be able to do their art in a place that inspired them, and to kind of live their life a little bit more freely than it was possible to live in the United States during similar time frames. And so my encouragement for you is not that you need to know everything about the queer history of everywhere, but if you do, again, take some tours and head to some fun museums, and there are people who are very willing to tell some of these stories that are so often long forgotten. But I want you to know that if you are someone who is feeling like the fact that you have to carve out your own unique space, that there is no community space that fits all of your unique needs, and has been someone who is crafting your own communities, or who is seeking out your own communities where you can find safety in private spaces, ways that feed your academic heart, or ways that feed your love languages, ways that feed you, because maybe everyone in the town you live in is of a different political variety, or you don't have as many places where you can be openly yourself, in public because of whatever the social, political, or even legal consequences of being fully yourself are. I want you to know that you are not alone. There are people in every time, in every place, in every part of history that have sought new ways to live and love boldly. And if you have the energy these days and the courage these days to try to hold that space, I know it's hard, to at least hold that space until there are others who can hold that space or make the spaces legal and better funded so that there are places to hang out and be safely for folk with so many of the intersections that you carry. It is worthwhile work. And my hope is that you will know that inventing the space you need does not mean you are less than, or you're not as professional as your neighbor, or that your work is not valid. It is even more valid because you had to create it. If you have the chutzpah to put in the chat some of the ways that you are holding space for others, I know that the people who follow along in these conversations and support these sort of wellness journeys are interested in supporting more people just like you. And certainly I will do my best to root for you and to provide you with conversations and stories that help reignite the passion and the flame and the drive that it takes to be constantly making these spaces for yourself and for others. And if you haven't heard it, I'm sorry that you have to do all of this hard work. There should be other people who can care for you, and you should be safe in all the spaces. But until that day comes, thank you for all you do to make space, to create, to journey into places that are safer, and to make that possible for other people. Thank you for listening to today's conversation. If you enjoyed short stories like this or the longer conversations that I have when I'm talking with other people about their intersectional lives and wellness journeys, I hope you will support the work that I'm doing by liking, subscribing, thumbs up, and comments. And if you are particularly inspired, perhaps to join me in supporting this work on Patreon. It is something that I am so grateful for the support that I have out there in the world. And I want to send all of that love right back to you. Know that you are needed in this world, that you are blessed, and that I am rooting for you. Take care, everyone.